Guests therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And I have with me in the studio here Ross Adkins, and he's already having issues with my North Korean equipment. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well, Good. Enjoying it. Let me get your mic levels up here a little bit more. How's that?
Good.
Okay. So anyway, known you for a number of years. You're a retired engineer now.
Yes. I've been retired about 3 or 4 years, but I'd retired several times before I got the idea that you can't, if you're going to retire, you can't accept money for whatever you do.
Yeah.
And so I quit taking money for it a while back, and I'm really retired now.
Well, we're here to talk about your really retired enterprises basically every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of experience in the building business, and I have a degree also in civil engineering. And Rachel and I came to Alaska in 1967. And I've just got to tell this story so you can appreciate how much I think of Alaska. Anyway, we didn't have much money, but we came so I could finish college, and that she was going to teach in North Pole. We looked around, and the rent was terrible, and the places that were for rent were terrible. And we ran across this foundation that was, you know, looked like the right size. And so we bought that lot in North Pole.
With the foundation on it.
With the foundation on it by the slough. And 1st of August, we started building. And we built logs and bought them all from the sawmill. And we bought the cheapest lumber we could find. And we only had $4,000 to deal with. And so we started work the 1st of August. And, of course, we had the flood that year. But the flood didn't affect us except that we couldn't go to the store for a lot of stuff. Now, the hardware store, Cunningham, there in North Pole, had a great hardware store. I knew every corner in that store before it was over with. But anyway, we started the 1st of August, and we moved into the four walls and the roof the day before Thanksgiving. It took us a while to finish everything inside, and we did it all on cash flow. So we lived in sawdust a lot, but that was okay for us. We didn't have any problem with that. But anyway, it took us about 10 years to finish it, and then we had occasion to move to Fairbanks. And so we bought a lot here, and we did the same thing. We didn't live in it till we had it finished, but we built it ourselves. And it's a three-bedroom house with a garage, well, two garages now. But all of that experience was from what Alaska has to offer, really, that you don't have someplace else. You can still build your own house here. You can make your own payments with, in other words, you build a house with your cash flow. If you start, then you know, you need to have a little reserve to get started. But I'm suggesting in this course that you buy a lot, figure out where you're going to live, and, you know, there's two places, more or less. There's the river valley and there's the hillside, and they both have their issues.
Pluses and minuses.
Right. And so...
Yeah, you hill people. I'm a city dweller.
Yeah.
I'm a townie is what I am.
Yeah. Well, my course is for towns, North Pole or Fairbanks, mm-hmm. or the flatland, Tanawanchina, alluvial rivers, and then the hillside. And there's really issues with all of them. And surprisingly enough, it's not so much permafrost issues as it is flooding issues. You've got to be aware of the floods in the flat places, even though we have a big dam now. That still happens. And so that your home should be prepared for all of those issues. And that's what I'm talking about. I know that young people can do it, even if they aren't real good craftsmen. They can still take care of it. And even if they can't do all of it, they can set it up to where they can have a contractor come in and say, do the sheetrock and the taping. It has to be done at a time when it's appropriate for that process. In other words, you can't do anything unless you close in a place for the winter. So the schedule is really important. If you start in the spring, then a set of plans and a lot and get started. You can frame up a garage and get a roof on it with not too much money and with some new materials without too much craftsman effort. I believe in these foam blocks, which are put together like Legos,
mm-hmm.
and anybody can do that. There's a few little things you have to know about it in the beginning, but they're not difficult to understand, how you handle the doors and the windows and all of that. And then when it comes time to pour the concrete, you know, you're pouring an 8-foot wall, and of course you have to have a pump to do that. So that's a contract with somebody that knows how to do that and has the manpower to do it. But when you get that done, you're all insulated, ready for the winter. You just have to put the roof on it. And I have some really strong opinions about roofs. The burl, I don't mean to be critical. It's just the way it's worked out. But the burl has, I think, about 1.5 million square foot of buildings in Fairbanks. And they started those buildings with 4 inches of insulation. That's ridiculous. And they have to change those roofs, redo them about every 15 years. They just finished the library a couple of years ago, redoing the roof. I think they put 6 inches of foam on the roof instead of 4. What I'm recommending is that you build your house with 30 inches of insulation. It's no more expense and not difficult at all to do 30 inches of insulation.
That's in the roof.
That's on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for maintenance purposes, I don't believe Fairbanks should have flat roofs. That's another thing that's just out of sight for cost and for maintenance. What I'm telling you to do, suggesting for you to do, is put a 112 pitch on the roof, make it a shed roof, and use Grace Water Shield, actually, underneath sheet metal roof and build it for 80 pounds per square foot. You should never get on a roof. There should be nobody up there ever.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have Ross Atkins in the studio here with me. We're 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
At the Pump House, romance is on the menu. Savor king crab ravioli, prime rib, and creamy mushroom risotto. Indulge in their sweetheart special. Half dozen roses, a split of champagne, and shared dessert for just $69 plus tax. Reservations highly recommended. Valentine's weekend at the Pump House.
Dr. Kim Driftmeyer again, board certified and fellowship trained spine surgeon here at McKinley, where we have all the services needed to keep your back, neck, and spine in good health. X-rays and MRI to help answer those questions about why your back might be feeling the way it does. Physical therapy, OMM with Drs. Wright and Malcolm, and even spine injections and surgeries right here under one roof at McKinley. The majority of our patients get treated without the need for surgery, and for those that do need surgery, you can take care of it right here in your hometown. So if your back or neck are bothering you, come see me and the spine team here at McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine. Open every day but Sunday.
Across Alaska's rivers, runways, trap lines, and trails, there are stories that deserve to be heard. Those stories live on Alaska Tracks. Hosted by wildlife biologist and lifelong outdoorsman Randy Zarnke, Alaska Tracks takes you inside the lives of the people who know this land best. Elders, hunters, bush pilots, and trappers who carry Alaska's traditions forward. Built on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association, each episode blends conversation, storytelling, and firsthand experience, connecting generations, bush and city, past and present. This isn't just a show. It's a living archive and a reminder of what it means to live in the last frontier. Alaska Tracks is proudly presented by KFAR Radio and sponsored by Rod's Saw Shop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers, and Frontier Outfitters. Alaska Tracks, Saturday at 1:30 p.m., only on KFAR Radio. Stories of the North, told by the people who live them.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 14 below. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 27 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance of snow. Daytime highs approaching 9 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Wednesday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Ross Atkins, engineer, retired. That way he's not collecting money on licenses that he has retired and paying taxes on it. So, but you're teaching a class, and it's every Saturday at the Lutheran Church.
It's
on
First
Avenue,
Methodist Church on Second Avenue.
Second Avenue. Well, I was in the neighborhood somewhere, it was a Christian church anyway. You know,
that's right. They're virtually the same.
Yeah, I'm looking at your sessions, and you know, it all starts with a lot.
Yes. You have to understand a few things about the hazards in Fairbanks. And by the way, I want to make a statement here that I really don't collect any money for any of this. I'm relating experiences. I'm not engineering anything, and you're welcome to call me anytime for with a question, but what I'll be giving you is my experience, not an engineering solution.
You know, and your light choice that you have here, your Tannin Arancina alluvial, which is basically your gravel, and then your hillside schist.
Well, the Tannin River can present silt.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between silt and sand, yeah. And it's a subtle difference. But sand, even a real fine sand, will drain. It might take it a little while to do that, but it'll drain. Silt won't drain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a simple way to determine which is which. You take just a little bit of what's your just a pinch of it, rub it between your fingers, and if it feels sandy to your fingers, then that's sand. If it's slick like soap, that's
schist.
Silt.
Yeah, silt.
Now, the hillside has schist, which is a bedrock, and it has weathered schist on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into that weathered schist and the rocks are, are broken up, but they're still there, that's okay. You just don't want to disturb it and then try to build on top of it. You want to excavate it off right to where you want the foundation, and then usually the best thing to do is to put some river run gravel on it, some pit run we call it, and smooth it out. The schist is a little hard to smooth out. They're bigger rocks sometimes.
Yeah. And, the schist, sometimes you get, what's the term I'm looking for, the stuff that comes out of the schist.
Well, it's a silt,
mm-hmm.
but there's enough rocks in it to drain it.
Okay.
Even the real fine rocks. There's overburden usually. Organics, that's about 2 feet on average, and you have to take that off, of course. But there's a lot of little tricks to it. If you ask somebody to go excavate the foundation, they'll just excavate it all and mix it all up, and you'll have to haul a bunch of stuff off that you shouldn't. In other words, that stuff that you dig off the top, even the organics, you need to take the stumps out of it, but you save that. And when you locate a garden, you use that silt. Or you can put it back around the house. But at any rate, the in general, instead of talking about the details of that, which you're going to have to find out somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's other places that you need to be aware of. There's windblown sand and there's windblown silt. And that windblown, about 10,000 years ago, there was real high winds in this valley, and it was generally downriver. And so when it came to the hills around Fairbanks, the hills caused a change in air pressure, really, and the slowing of the air, and it dropped a lot of that stuff at the base of the hills. And that can be either silty, which is not good. There's perhaps a little valley where it accumulates. As it goes up the hill, it drops more. And then there's some real unique stuff along Chena Pump Road that is a windblown sand. And the place that has that I had a real unique experience with is near the Octa. There's mm-hmm. a bunch of windblown sand on the hillside there near the Octa. And you can see it in the cut banks. It's along Chena Pump Road. Chena Ridge Road also. Mm-hmm. Those cut banks are standing straight up, but they're obviously not rock. They're windblown sand. And the grains of those sands sort of interlock sometimes, and it holds pretty good. But if you let water get to that, you're in deep trouble. So it's better to steer clear of those areas. But I did about 6,000 inspections in my spare time at one time when the late 80s, when the economy went down.
South, yeah.
Yes. And so we all survived in that period. But I survived by doing part-time inspections. And it was one of the most interesting things I've ever done, really, because you get to see all of those problems, and after a while, they repeat, and you begin to look at them closer. But to make it brief, the problems with buildings in both the valley and on the hillside are water. If the water gets loose on the hillside in the wrong place, it's bad news. And
well, you have your drainage issues, you know, and right. I always look at, you know, the say Farmer's Loop, and you can see the drainages, and that's wet ground basically, and what it does, and the type of trees that are there. And right. You better have your drill logs, you know, but if you're going to build anything, you better have your drill logs.
That's right. And even drill logs, you know, they can only drill.
They only tell you what's in that hole, not what's 5 feet away from it.
That's right. And that along the Farmer's Loop is a windblown area. That's all that, you know, most of that is a deposit from the rivers.
Yeah.
But the problem on the hillsides is that every once in a while there's a road above your lot or through the upper side of it by the upper side of it that services all the lots, the other lots in that subdivision. The ditches in those roads have to be drained downhill every once in a while. And so you can't just let it all collect for a mile of ditch. You know, you've got to relieve it with a culvert across the road. The lots that are below that should be looked at very carefully to make sure that your building site isn't below one of those culverts, because that collected water is a flood, you know, and you need to build your house to accommodate the water off the roof and your driveway, and that's got to be thought of in the beginning. So you get a lot, you get a plan, and you get a plot plan so that you know where everything's going to go. You've looked at it for drainage. And the other thing that you need to plan in the beginning is how are you going to plow the driveway? You know, it's a frustrating thing, and I know because I've done it, to have to plow the snow out from in front of the garage and then move it to the other side of the lot because you don't have any place to put it. When you design the driveway into it, it needs to be designed so that the plow can dump the snow without having to push it three times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to do in the beginning.
And you have these classes every Saturday?
Every Saturday at
9 a.m.
Right.
On First Avenue.
Second Avenue.
At the Methodist Church.
That's right.
I got most of it that time.
Yeah, well, good.
And you, how many people usually show up?
Well, there was 20, about 20 this Saturday.
How long does the class last for?
An hour and a half.
Okay.
That's as long as I can talk.
Okay. And this last class, what did you go through? Because this class is always, in, you know, every Saturday, it sounds like. And
that's
so there's
right.
always a portion that you don't cover.
Well, we didn't do a whole lot of advertising, so mm-hmm. I think that we will have maybe more on the second Saturday. And I've planned for that by saying that we will repeat a class. If there's enough people, I'll just pick a. We will pick a day, an evening that everybody can do it, and then we'll have a makeup class.
How long do you anticipate doing this for?
I think it'll take me about 5 weeks to wind down.
Okay, to get it all done.
To get it all done.
Okay. Yes. Well, what the heck, Fairbanks? We're gonna take a commercial break here. We have bumper music for you, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And then we got some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather. And people here at the radio station are generally very happy because for the most part they are Seattle Seahawks fans. And their obnoxiousness the last 2 weeks has been barely acceptable. But they won their game. So, hey, we will see you back after these commercials.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
live at KFARradio.com. A deadline looms in the search for Savannah Guthrie's mother.
That initial ransom note reportedly issued a deadline for today, demanding millions of dollars in exchange for 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie. Now, yesterday, Fox captured investigators using a pole to probe what appears to be a water hole behind Nancy Guthrie's house.
Fox's Matt Finn. Convicted child sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell refusing to answer questions during a virtual House deposition today. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer says he's disappointed.
We sincerely want to get to the truth to the American people and justice for the survivors. That's what this investigation is about.
This comes as Bill and Hillary Clinton have agreed to testify before Congress after they were threatened with contempt. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports Anchorage school board members are beginning to grapple with a bleak preliminary budget for the district that proposes significant cuts to nearly every department beginning next school year. In the last few years, district administrators have proposed many similar cuts to programs and services in Anchorage public schools, but often avoided major disruptions with last-minute appropriations from the legislature. This year, board members are telling the public not to hold their breath waiting for late-arriving funding to save the day. Our budget situation is different this year, Board President Carl Jacobs said during last Tuesday's school board meeting. We've gotten a couple of emails indicating that this is going to play out the same way as it has in previous years, where the legislature is able to swoop in, provide one-time funding, allow us to stave off some of the harshest cuts. They've kicked the can so far down the road in Juneau that I don't see a road where that's possible. Board members and school superintendents suggested that closing schools could be another way to cut money from the budget in order to preserve other programs.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Well, it's dark, it's cold, but hey, at least we don't have to worry about a sunburn. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. This time of year absolutely wreaks havoc on our cars. Hard starts, no starts, is my winterization working? Heaters that aren't heating? How old is my battery? Brakes that are stiffer than a New Year's cocktail? Suspension that feels every single bump in the road? And life doesn't stop. You still have to get to work, drop off the kids, pick up the kids, do the shopping. And when you call your usual shop with a problem, they'll tell you they can get you in sometime this summer. Maybe it's time for a New Year's resolution. Stop waiting in line and call Fairbanks Nissan. Yes, we sell Nissans, but we work on all makes and models, even yours. In fact, we probably do more work on other brands than we do on Nissans. And we work with almost all extended warranty companies. So you can call us even if you got your warranty somewhere else. When you need help in a hurry, not months from now, call Fairbanks Nissan. Schedule your service online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com. Fairbanks Nissan, here when winter doesn't wait.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Ross Atkins in the studio with me. If you want to call in for a construction question or engineering, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And Ross gives a class every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., on the Methodist Church on 2nd Avenue.
Right.
And I got that. And what's the address down there?
You're getting better.
What's the address down there?
It's right. It's 915 2nd Avenue.
Okay, I figure it's in, 800-900 block right in there.
Yeah.
Now, this next class, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I will summarize what we did in the first class in a few words, because some people may have missed it. But we'll be talking about getting a set of plans.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see as problems that you should solve right in the planning stage. Like I said before, you know, it should be, I think it should be a foam block wall, and that would start at an R27.
That's your phone, man.
Oh, I thought I turned it off. Sorry.
So sorry, foam, that's okay. A foam block wall with starts in R37?
R27.
So 27, okay.
And then you should add some insulation on that. But you can delay that insulation till the next year. When you get done with the foam block, you can move in at that point. I'm not suggesting you do. I think that you should add some insulation to that and some stripping so you can put the electrical in the walls and not have to penetrate the vapor barrier, which is extremely important. And, it accelerates your ability to use that space, because you'll heat it up while you build the rest of the house. But that all has to be in the plans in the beginning. And if it were me and I were starting over, it would be a plan on one level, and it would have sewer and water, all available. I think the well, if you're in the Tenino Valley, I think the well should be in the garage, a 2-inch well that I drove hours in 1967 with my pickup truck, and it took 4 hours. And the general rule of thumb in the Tenino Valley and in the Chena is that the overburden down to the water table is about 9 to 10 feet, and you can drive a 2-inch well into that and just suck the water out of it. And that's really a money-saving and a time-saving thing. And put it inside the house so that it's all warm, in the garage, really. there's some details about it that, you would need to research. And what I'm saying is, whatever I say here, the plans and the paperwork for that, you need to research. The borough has I don't know whether it's a requirement or they ask you to get a building permit.
Well, it's not a building permit. In the city limits, you got to get the building permit.
Right.
They want you to have a driveway permit.
That's right. So that they got the driveway.
Yeah, that way they know you're building something.
They know to tax you then.
Yeah, exactly.
When you ask them for a driveway permit, they make a folder on you.
That's right.
And the folder is prompted by a computer.
Yep.
And they've got you then. Now, I'm not saying that you dodge taxes either. I think you should pay taxes.
Well, also, they're pretty thorough. Their appraisers go out into the field, and they're all cover a certain area, and they all make sure that there's no, new construction per se when they're out in the field. And then they go back and they make sure that, okay, did they do any additions to the houses? Are there any upgrades? Things like that. And that takes them about once every 3 to 4 years they do their whole area.
Yes, and of course our favorite assessor was Shelley Fritz.
Yes, she was something else.
Yeah. Anyway, also, there are codes that you should follow. If you're in the city, they're enforced by inspection. If you're in North Pole, I'm pretty sure they are enforced by inspection.
Well, this is what I tell a person who's getting ready to build a home. Do you want financing on your home? Or do you want to have financing for someone they buy the home from you? And if so, have a building inspector the whole way through. It's going to cost, $600 to $700. But they do the foundation inspection, the mechanical, the electrical, the structural. and they record your inspection report, and then Alaska Housing will loan on your property. If you don't have the inspection report on it, they're not loaning on it.
Well, I do believe in the codes for a safety reason. And you got to remember, whatever you build for just living in now, it's a good chance you will eventually want to sell it.
Yeah.
And when you do, then they will want a loan. Now, I don't advise a loan. I don't. I think you're better off to deal with the problems as they come with your cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also have a financial advisory sheet that shows you what essentially a 2,400 square feet house here is. I think the market's maybe $320,000, and if you borrow money for that $300,000, well, you'll have to pay a down payment, so $300,000. That's going to be, when you're done with it, about twice. You'll pay as much interest as you do on the house.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be about another $300,000 for interest. Now, there's a thing about this build-it-yourself thing that's sort of subtle. You never pay any taxes on the place you live in. It's not taxed by the federal government. Now, I think some states do have a tax an income tax that goes with it. But even the capital gains on your home, you don't pay tax on. Now, these tax things are just like my engineering. I'm saying what I think I know. You have to confirm any of that with yourself, with your accountant.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to pay taxes, that money should go into the building. The thing is, it's the only place that I'm aware of that you really can work without paying income tax. In other words, the time that you put on the house is worth quite a bit of money, even though you may be not a craftsman.
Yeah, you're building equity. Simple as that. Sweat equity.
And you're going to do it without taxes. Mm-hmm. No income tax, because it's, you know. Anyway, that's a big advantage.
Where do you tell people to get their, you know, you have to design your house to your lot. So where do you recommend a person, you know, getting plans that they might want to use?
What I suggest, I mean, I really believe in the money, the financial situation. And what is the best thing to do is go buy a set of plans in a magazine, in a grocery store. They'll have a magazine stand, and they'll usually have two or three different companies that make house plans, and a lot of times it's just a whole book of house plans. And I recommend that it be one level because of the longevity of the use of it. I'm suggesting that it'll start with a married couple, go all the way through their family and their parents. It should be planned for a place for your parents. Things are changing as quickly for them nowadays as it is for young people. The inflation and everything is, you know, and I think it's going to drift more towards people taking care of their parents the way it used to be done.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
2026 is now in full swing, and Fairbanks Urology, that means an 8-year anniversary of open doors and exceptional patient care. Fairbanks Urology, offering specialized care for men and women, and they're always ready to partner for an improved you. Even better, referrals aren't necessary. Appointments can be scheduled without a long wait. Fairbanks Urology, 1211 Cushman Street, right across from the City of Fairbanks Fire Station. Find them online at fairbanksurology.com. Stop by and meet the team.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
It's Aurora Artistries offering a unique and inspiring paint night experience. Whether you're planning a fun date night, girls' night out, or a memorable birthday party, they've got you covered. From weekly paint nights to special paint your pet sessions, these events are designed for all skill levels, hosted exclusively at Silver Gulch Brewing and Bottling Company. They provide all the supplies and step-by-step instructions. Just bring your imagination. Unwind, sip, and let your creativity flow with Aurora Artistries. Enjoy paint night at half price as Aurora Artistries is this week's 50-50 Friday offer.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
Looking for a way to serve your state and secure your future? The Alaska Army National Guard offers tuition assistance, career training, and part-time service with full-time benefits. Build real-world skills, earn extra income, and be a part of a team that protects Alaska when it matters most. Your adventure starts here. Talk to your local recruiter today. The Alaska Army National Guard. Live here, work here, serve here. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and the station.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 14 below today under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 27 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Wednesday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Ross Atkins in the studio with me. We're going to take a phone call, Ross.
Great.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. What are you up to?
Well, I have a question for your guest, but first, if I may, I wanted to slip in a quick little correction from Friday's show. You had a guest from the governor's office, and I
Randy.
Yeah.
Concentrate on today's show.
Okay, well, you made an error in
Randy, concentrate on today's show.
Well, I'll call you another day then. Bye.
Bye. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, I just...
I could answer his question on what we did on Friday.
Well, I had a guy who was on the radio with me, and he was talking about the governor's financial proposal, and it involved a tax and the dividend, and you know that's where the fight always starts.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it you know you're looking at this. And where do you find a lot? Where do you have people go look for lots?
Well, I suggest that they go to the State Division of Lands, the federal, I don't think they call it Division of Lands, but Department of Lands, and the city every once in a while has a lot for sale, but the borough has lots. And the university especially has property that they will sell over the counter, and they will give you, you can do it through payments. They, of course, want some money down, but they're fairly willing to negotiate with you.
Or contact a person in the real estate industry and see if they can get on the multiple listing service and give you lots in the area that you're thinking of. And
and usually if you have a good friend that's a realtor like Dave, you know, they will know what the market is for it from other listings.
Yeah.
But finding the lot is not difficult. It's sort of making sure that you don't have some kind of special problem with it. Permafrost is not so much a problem anymore, except in good-sized places. And the reason is, you know, the permafrost, there's an active layer. And that active layer, because we've been so warm, is a little deeper now. And so, anyway, the water problem in both areas is a big problem.
And yeah, your drainage, yeah, your runoff.
Right.
And how you build your house and where the drainage is going to go.
That's right. In the flats, I recommend you be 2 foot above the street.
Yeah.
With a pad.
You know, we had this homeowner in South Fairbanks, and she bought this house that if we didn't keep all these gullies and storm drains completely cleaned out, her house flooded because they built 8 inches under the what you're supposed to in construction. She was the lowest house in the neighborhood. Her house was lower than the street, and this was a 80s quick fab throw it up construction. And I mean, we had crews over there making sure, that the steam truck was, in the spring thaw and pumping out. And just, I mean, we were fighting it for her. And we just did other things down it so the water wouldn't collect in the storm drains as much. And man.
Yes, those are, I'd say not frequent, but there's a lot of them in the North Pole area and around that end of town. And every once in a while I ran across one in the city of Fairbanks. And what I'd recommend is, if the lot is big enough, go dig a big hole in the lot. And you can drain that surface water in that hole. The surface water on a lot is, it's considerable in the spring. And you need someplace for it to go. Well, that big hole will serve as a place to put the snow that you have to plow, and it won't freeze on the bottom. So when you start running water into it, it will drain. But it's best to start the building and pre-build for that kind of problem, as well as several others.
On your exterior walls, what are your recommendations? Foam block, 2x6, 2x8?
Well, it can be either way. In a lot of ways, it seems like that a frame building, 2x6 or so, with more insulation, they devised ways to do that. But I think all around, the cheapest way to go and the least expensive is the flow block, the foam block. But if it's a frame, I recommend at least 18 inches of insulation in the walls and 30 inches in the ceiling. Now, that is sort of, some people would think that's extreme, but the reason for that is that insulation is sort of the cheapest part of the building. Mm-hmm. You can make it thicker, and it doesn't really add anything but the cost of the insulation. Whereas, other things, you need to, I recommend an 80-pound truss if you're going to use trusses, and a truss that takes 80 pounds is about 36 inches, and the only added cost of that is the 2x6 that goes on the bottom and the top. The rest of it's all the same. So why not have a 2x6 on the bottom and top? That's the cheapest thing you can do. That's about the cost of having it shoveled one time.
And this is what's taught in your class.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is every Saturday at 9 o'clock at
9 a.m.
on 2nd Avenue in the Methodist Church at about 25 Second Avenue?
Yeah, 915.
915 Second Avenue at 9 a.m. All the nines.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, we hope to see you there. I enjoy giving this information to young people. I've really benefited by Alaska's conditions, and I was sitting around one time and thinking, oh, how do I give it back? And this is the way to give it back.
There you go. You're recommending when you start, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a garage. What sort of heating system?
Well, heating has changed a lot. Think about it. In the caveman days, we used flame at about 900 degrees.
My parents, who built a house in 1959, had a furnace room. I mean, a big room with this great big behemoth thing in there.
And we've gradually, over the centuries, we've made it better all the time. And the latest to be short with it, mm-hmm. I believe in a heated slab that you can run at the lowest temperature possible, which means you put as much tube in that slab as you can. That way you run the boiler at a low temperature. I have one friend who runs his boiler between 90 and 100 degrees, and he heats the house fine. What that means is the difference between what you're using to heat the house and that flame heat is a big span, which you get a lot of heat conduction because of that span of temperature. And it just makes it so much cheaper to run whatever heat you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the devices, a boiler now, can condense, and we don't think anything about it.
They're like the size of my Osborne Executive laptop computer, the original laptop, you know?
Yep.
They're about that size.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit heavier, though.
Yeah, and they do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, we just did the Fairbanks Laundry, which is, I don't know, it's a big building and a lot of demand, but the boiler hardly runs, you know? And it's a gas condensing boiler. You know? And most people don't know about condensing. You need a condensing boiler because the difference between 32 degrees frozen and 32 degrees thawed is 144 BTUs.
Mm-hmm.
And that same principle works in a boiler. Difference in the condensate that comes out the stack, you know, that carries a lot of BTUs. And so you need to cut the... Anyway, it's a process of designing the heating system that it doesn't take much to design it for high efficiency.
We got about a minute left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, I recommend you build if you're young and you're looking for a place for a future family, you build it, you plan it for that. If you're like me and you're looking back and saying, you know, I should have built this house this way, and then I could move in a little space in it, and somebody, you know, my daughter and son-in-law could live in the living part. And it doesn't take much as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
So plan for it now. And that's what I'm advising and what I'll try to convey.
Well, thank you for being on the show with me. Greatly appreciate it. Fairbanks, you have a great day. We will be here tomorrow. And I forget who I have on tomorrow. I've got David Styron calling in from Juneau. So, Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. You have a great day. Thank you very much, Ross Atkins. And go to his class this Saturday, 9 o'clock at 915 Second Avenue. In the Methodist Church, and I'll see you tomorrow.